many feels like you're winning the battle?
Amen.
Amen. As Christians, we do. And thanks to the Lord, we let the musicians go ahead and come to their seats. May the Lord richly bless you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. As Brother Daniel always says, it is good to be in the house of the Lord with you. It's good to have Sister Mandy with us today. And I don't know if I've said this before, but I want to appreciate everyone, working and complying with the distancing and so forth, and the mask and all those sorts of things. And we just, we want to walk upright before the Lord, before man, and do what we're supposed to do. And so I just want to thank you for the inconvenience that it is. Everybody's had a good attitude about it and so forth. So we just thank the Lord for it. It's a beautiful day outside. It's a beautiful day inside. And when you have the Lord in your heart, this makes all the difference in the world. And if you don't know him in that way today, you can.
That's right.
Just turn your heart to him in service this morning. Just always remember, there's always a higher height in God. And we'll spend eternity finding out more about him. Praise God. Because I enjoy every bit that I find out about the Lord now. I love every bit of it. So I just think eternity would be great. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I just don't think it would be very fun to sit around worshiping some guy throughout eternity. I'm like, well, you don't know him the way I do.
That's right.
And so we just thank the Lord. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles. And I've got a lot of reading today. So what I'm going to do is read a couple of short scriptures so you can be seated, and then we'll do the long reading afterwards. So we'll start with Genesis chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Go through verse 7. I like to hear the Bible pages turning. It's good. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And I want to go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, verse 17. First John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. Let's just pray. Our dear Lord Jesus, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we are taking these words and the things that you put upon my heart this morning. We're just ministering back to you and asking God that you just break the bread of life to your people today. As your prophet said so many times, that any physical man can open the Bible. It's got strength to do it. And if he can read, he can read the words. But Lord, the actual understanding of the scriptures that lays within your hands, Lord, to break that bread of understanding to the hearts of your people. We're asking, Lord, that you would do that this morning. I have no desire to share this morning any thoughts of my own, Lord. I've never had that desire. I've always wanted, Lord, it to be your words that I give to your people. And I'm asking, Lord, as a person who is weak in myself, I don't have inspiration in myself, but I'm asking God that you would just come and that you would use my voice to speak to your people that which you need or they need and you desire for them to know today. We surrender this morning to you and ask God that you have your way. And And Lord, that you would bypass all things that hinder and take us right to the point where we need to connect to your word. And Lord, the fruits thereof would manifest. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. So the title today I want to give this is Overcoming the God of This Evil Age. And so I said I'd have you sit down and we would read some more scriptures, and I have several quotes I want to read today, so I'm going to apologize for all the reading, but then again, I'm not, so because you can read this word and go home and be blessed.
Amen.
So she'll open to Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to read about what Satan, when he was Lucifer before he became Satan, what he desired to do, and we're going to see what happens to him as God gets ready to turn back to Israel and bless them and set in the millennium and then set in eternity and so forth. We're going to see what is going to happen to Lucifer and as he was anointed upon the king of Babylon and the king of Tyrus and the different things that we read in the scriptures, God is going to declare here. And so I just want to get started with this sermon this morning just by looking at this. And so just keep in mind this is end time. When God gets through letting Satan have his way and God begins to deal with him, look what happens to Satan. And it's awesome to me. It says, "For the Lord will have mercy upon Jacob," and we know that's Israel, "and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaidens. And they shall take them captives, who captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." So everything that Israel has suffered throughout the years, and their oppressors, and everybody that's been on them, making them servants, God's going to turn it around. It's going to be the other way around. Yeah. Now, I say that because Israel in the natural is a type of you and I in the spirit.
Right.
So everything that is oppressed, that's been on you, God's going to turn around and make you ruler over it.
Yeah.
Right? "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon." He's really talking about Satan, who had anointed the king of Babylon. "Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hast the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased." Now think of this. I'm gonna narrate this as we go. When you've got some power that's been in power for all these ages and seemed like nothing could ever stop it, and you were always subject to it and could not resist it, and now God's going to take that down and make it nothing,
yeah.
Right? And so it might be astonishing just to think that this thing that's been there, that's been a problem all this time, it might be hard to understand how that could become nothing, but it will.
Right.
And that's what he's saying here. "Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how can this be? How has this great oppressor ceased? How is it this great city that has ruled, how is it that it has ceased?" Amen? As you go on. "The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth in singing." Why? Because this guy's been dealt with, right? "Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon say, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us." Since Satan's been dealt with, nobody has come against us, right? Because we're like trees. Nobody's come to put an axe to our root of our tree. "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming, is stirred up, it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like as unto us? Now think about that. All the kings and all the nations that were subject to Lucifer, to Satan, and they've all been, all these kingdoms have all crumbled and went down. But the time will come when these kings will look at him when he's cast down, and they're going to look at him and say, you? You're the guy that did this? You little peep squeak is what it really is like. It's hard to imagine that you were able to do this, but he was, right? Through his lies and unbelief. Thy pomp. You know what pomp is? You know, all the highfalutin stuff, you know? He was self-centered, thought he was something, right? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? So now he's actually addressing him for who he is. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, which is the sons of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that hath made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all them that lie in glory, everyone in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of them that are slain, thrust through with a sword that goeth down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evil doers shall never be renowned. Amen. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Satan's got it coming. But you know what? Before that time comes, he's this great one that has to be dealt with.
Yes.
Right? And it has done all these things. But he's brought down to so low. Christ strips him of everything.
Right.
So I've been listening to this sermon's Satan's Eden and the God of this evil age. And so I wanted to read some quotes here, and we'll just kind of move on. This is one of those sermons today where I don't know exactly how the Lord's going to bring it all out. And I don't really have to know. I just trust him.
Right.
So in this sermon, God of this evil age, Brother Branham is saying, before I read it, I'll go ahead and read it. Brother Bram says, what would God call a people out of this evil age for? His name. The reason is to try her, his bride, is when she's made manifest, been tried, been proven, proved to Satan. Like it was at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. As a seed starts in the ground, it comes up through the carriers, the life of it, but it ends up in the same seed that it was when it went into the ground. And the same way the seed of deceit fell into the ground in Eden, the same way it ends up in the last days. Just as the gospel, when it fell into a denomination at Nicaea, Rome, it ends up in a super organization. And just as the seed of the church fell there with signs and wonders and the living God among them, it ends up in the last days under the ministry of Malachi 4 and restores back again the original faith that was once given. So we find now that this evil age is to prove to Satan that she is not like Eve, that she is not that type of woman. And she will be tried by his word, the bride, as Adam's bride was tried with the word. And Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, but failed one promise under the temptation of the enemy face to face. The enemy face to face. And now the people that are called for his name, of course, his bride, She is to come in contact by the same thing, not a denomination, not denominational truth or something, but every word. Now, I'm going to comment on this. Now, what he's saying is what happened at the beginning, the seed that started at the beginning comes up at the end. And so as it started at Nicaea, Rome, a false religion, it comes to the end as a super church. Right? But also at the early church with signs and wonders and the power of God present was a seed that went into the ground. At the end, God will have a bride who has among her the same signs, wonders, the same things, showing that it is God, and shows that that will be. And he says, just like Eve came in contact at the very beginning with this issue to believe or to be tested, to be tried of the word, we have to come to that at the end. We have to come to the place where we are met with the challenge. Can we believe the word like she was tested?
Right.
And so Brother Graham says that this evil age in this last age is an hour that God is going to prove to Satan that this end time bride is not like Eve.
Right.
Right? And so she has to come to, and he says she will come again in contact again with the same thing, not in denomination. Denomination of truth, but every word. So she has to, at the end, she has to come in contact with not just the denominational teaching and all that, but she comes in contact with the word, every word of God, and then from that she's going to be tested. Can you believe every word of God?
Yeah.
And so he says, he talks about this, and we'll read some quotes and everything, but sometimes you just get going and you want to express some of the things that are in the quotes. But he says, you know, this, the God of this evil age is the scientific reasoning to take and have a religious worship and have a scientific age and have all this man-made stuff and all this hybrid stuff, you name it, the whole world that's out there, taking all of that and bringing it into what he referred to as Satan's Eden. And so in this Satan's Eden, everything is brought in such a place that it's just like what Satan wants. And it is a hybrid religion. It's a religious system, religious age. Everybody's got their religious affiliation and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's all based upon reason.
Right.
They deny the power of the Word of God. They deny those things that are absolutely necessary. And it's all just a mental, everything that they believe has to be submitted to their intellect. If they can't comprehend it any way, then they won't believe it. In other words, it's not with faith, it's just reasoning.
Yeah.
So, and he gives, Brother Branham in the sermon, he gives so many examples like, well, it only reasons that God's given us so many doctors. Why would he need to heal? We've got doctors to do that, right? You know, signs and wonders. Oh, we've never heard of such a thing. That went out with the apostles. Always reasoning. And you know why Satan wants to produce that kind of religion? Is because he can't produce the goods. He's not a creator, so he has to create a religious system that's void of the actual presence of God because he can't produce it.
Yeah.
So he has to take out the signs and the wonders and all the truths and all the things that are correct. He has to do that. And so this whole age is built upon, if we've got science to prove it, we'll go with it. If you've been listening, you've kind of heard that lately. We got to have the facts, right? We got to have the evidence. You know, and I understand, but see, God doesn't need the things that man are limited to. God can do what he wants to do, right? And so this whole modern, the God of this evil age, and I'm going to bring this to where you can understand what he's talking about here, is that this system that of Satan's Eden has come to the place where Satan is going to embody and be incarnate in that, and he has become the God of this evil age, okay? Because we see there, as we read in the scriptures, his ambition was, I'm going to be worshipped like God.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like God. People are going to worship me. And Brother Graham said he has done it.
Yeah.
He's marvelously done it. He's got the world into worshipping him, even though they're thinking they're worshipping God. They're worshipping Satan because what they worship under is all the things that he's presented contrary to the word. So now that's what's happened. And he's being worshipped. And God has allowed him to take 6,000 years to produce and hone out and make it just like he wants it to be. And the whole world is worshiping him underneath that, thinking that they're worshiping God and thinking they're right. And that's the God of this evil age. And Brother Graham said, and then it's in that kind of hour that God calls for his bride. Yeah. Said, why would he call for her in this kind of hour? Well, he says, to prove to Satan that she's not like Eve. To prove that she's not going to fall to the things like Eve fell. And so that's why he calls her from this age. You know, it'd be simple to say that if there was a world out there, there was no deception, it was all, you know, then to call somebody from that to be the bride wouldn't be that big a deal, right? But to call her from this evil age, that's saying something. And that ought to show you that she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word. She comes from the same place he come from, and she can no more fail than God can fail. And that's why he's waiting right down here to the end until Satan has got his kingdom to its fullness, where he can do all the things that he desires to do. And out of the midst of that, God is calling a bride to come forth that she will believe that word. And because remember, the one of the mysteries of the age is the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation.
Yes.
Now think about that. We live in an age where people's got to feel something, got to have some sort of sensation before they can believe it. And God is saying, but she's going to believe it even when there's nothing in the physical to testify to it. She's going to believe it anyway because she can't disbelieve.
Right.
She is the Word like he's the Word. She comes from the same thing, same portion he does. And so he goes on to say, the people who's called by his name, she is to come in contact again with the same thing, not just a denominational truth or something, but every word. For in the beginning of the Bible, man was given the word of God to live by. One word misinterpreted by a man called Satan in the person of an animal called the serpent. Satan, in this person, could talk to Eve and misinterpreted the word to her and was lost, see? And it must be every word. In the middle of the Bible, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And when he was tempted by Satan. Now God telling us here in the last days that the God of this world will rise up in the last days, and whosoever shall add one word to it and take one word from it, his part will be taken from the book of life. God be merciful to us, and let us not walk as stiff shirts, chest stuck out, head up, know it all, for we too one time were in disobedience. But let us with grace and mercy and feeling in our hearts toward God humbly come to the throne of grace. And so the God of this world at the last days will rise up. And so Brother Ram is telling us that this God, as Satan, has been allowed to come to this fullness at the end and becomes actually the God of the age, because now he is being worshipped through all the systems and unbelief and denying of the truth. Everybody that believes and goes that route, they are worshiping Satan. And so he has become the God of this evil age. And at the end, he rises up to challenge the bride and takes away from the word. And she has come in contact once again with the fullness of the word through a ministry that's brought it. And now she's got to make a decision and show that she stays with the word and does not fall for this great one who rises up. And what you see happening here is that she, the bride of Christ, as she believes the word, she becomes the word.
Right.
As the wife accepts all of the man, she becomes Mr. and Mrs. Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? And at the same time, as the bride receives all these truths, she becomes the manifested, embodied word of Jesus Christ in his second coming here on the earth today. And it doesn't look like a man is walking up and down the shores of Galilee, but nevertheless, it's the same appearing of Jesus Christ in the form he said he would come in. And so as she is embracing that word, becoming the expression of him, this other church system, the world system, as they embrace and believe and accept, he becomes embodied, Satan becomes embodied in them, and that's the God of this evil age. And now there's a showdown between Christ and Satan, embodied in the peoples, right? So we know that's what's happening. A big showdown. Amen. Satan's system is all built on knowledge and science and a mixed tree of good and evil. And this is the whole thing. If you take reason, and you hear Brother Brennan say it so many times, who can say anything against a hospital? No, nothing wrong with a hospital, right? Schools, libraries, no, they're all good. But God never told his church to go build hospitals, schools, or libraries.
Right.
He said, preach the gospel, right? And so what's happening is that tree of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it is a tree of knowledge. It enlightens you. And on that tree is good. God said it was. But then there's also evil. And the way I look at it is that if I reach over and I see something good and I take a bite off of that which is good, evil is embedded in that and there's no way to keep from it. So anything that you nibble off of from the tree of knowledge, thinking it's good, and believe me, as Eve saw, she said, oh, it looks good. It's good for food, and it's pleasant to the eye, and it'll make me wise.
Yeah.
There must not be anything wrong with it. So with intellect, as you look at that, if you just reason it out, reason says, well, look at it. I mean, it's good for food. It's beautiful to look at. It'll make you wise. It'll help you in this. It'll make you to be like gods. See? So if you move into reason and you look at that, all you see is the tree of knowledge of good. Satan's not trying to show you the evil that comes with it.
Right.
And so it is a religious system of knowledge and science and a mixed tree of good and evil, and mixed it all with religion and science and the culture of humanity. It's all one big thing, and Satan's featured in all of it. But Christ isn't in it. That's not featuring Christ,
right,
even though they want to tell you it is. And so, we'll read some more quotes here. So he said, this is to show that she's not like Eve. So she's not going to make the mistakes Eve made. Oh, so Eve looked at it and said, well, you know, it's good for food. And if you didn't notice, the other scripture you read in 1 John is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And that was the three things that she was tested to. She saw that it was good food, looked good to eat, and that it was pleasant to look at, to the eye, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she fell, being tempted by reasoning, to those three temptations right there, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And Brother Ram comes along and tells us, and we'll probably read it, that Jesus, when the Satan tempted him in the wilderness, Satan tempted at all three times, tempted him to these three things. And Jesus, by the word and the word only, overcame Satan. Amen? And so, she is to show that she's not like Eve. So she's not going to fall like Eve. So that means that she cannot look at it and say, oh, but it looks good to eat. Or it's going to make me wise. See, the end time bride can't do that.
Yeah.
See, she has to overcome, and she cannot be guilty of stooping down to that level. And so, and what we're talking about is reasoning for everything. She's got to go with the word of God, which is faith. And when the Holy Ghost comes into a man, he'll cause you to believe something you can't see. Right? And so, in the God of this evil age, Brother Branham says, old peoples of this United States, where this message is going now, flee as hard as you can from this knowledge scientific age that we're living in. Flee to the Word of God. No one knows it. No one can prove it. God does his own proving. No one has a right to interpret it. Me, no other man has a right. God does his own interpreting. He made the promise. He said he would do in these last days, and in these last days the God of this evil age would blind the eyes of people with his intellectual knowledge and a mixed tree of good and evil, and still giving it to the people. And so now watch what he says. And here it comes. So Satan's done all this, and because he's done it, here comes something, right? And here it comes, that thing heading up, That denomination from way back in the Dark Ages and before the Dark Ages, all heading up in a superman, Satan, who said, I will exalt myself above the sons of God, and they'll listen to me, and he, as God, will sit in the temple of God, and the sons of God will fall for it. And so, it's in its age of scientific knowledge, mixed things, that's what I wanted to read that to you, you can see. So he says that here this thing comes, what Satan started back there at Nicaea, and he's bringing it all the way forward, and now it's coming. Here it comes. This thing that he started back there is coming up into the head. It's going to be Satan manifest in a god of this evil age. And so what you find out is that when you believe God by faith and you follow his word, you're worshiping God. But when you fall for Satan's lies and follow after a system, then you're worshiping Satan. That's the way it works. You're worshiping Satan. So by hybrid religion and reasoning, we worship Satan. So I have another quote. I told you I had a bunch of them.
It's all right.
So he's talking about Satan's Eden, and that's what this is, Satan's Eden. He says, now, he brought forth this great Eden. He's talking about Satan. He brought forth this great Eden that they now live in, a church world's Eden. They're all uniting together now at this great ecumenical council and going to have the world church all coming under one head where Satan will be thrown just exactly. And the last call going out to catch the bride before she gets into that. For once into that, she's took the mark of the beast and doomed. She'll never come out of it. And that's the reason I say come out from her, from among them, my people, before it goes into him. See, come out from among them and be separate. Did you catch what he's saying there? That he's moving up into this great ecumenical system, and Satan's going to be the head of it. And right at that time, God is calling for his bride.
Yeah.
And he said, Brother Branham, he goes, you know, we talked about how the angel said, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers, right? Because she's fixing to be judged, and I've got some people in that system that's got to come out still yet. So he calls them out of that system so they're not in it, and he's going to judge that system. Mm-hmm. So he has to call his people out of that, get her ready for a rapture to separate. And so Brother Branham was saying, here this thing comes, and it's headed up, and it's coming to this fullness, and it's going to be Satan worship, Satan on the throne of a world system. And he says, but that's the reason why I'm standing here, what he was saying. That's the reason why I'm calling out, come out of her. But watch what he said. Come out from among them, my people, before it goes into him. In other words, what he's saying. This church world system is moving, and at some point they're going to move into him, Satan, to become the manifestation of him. And to believe and move into that mode, he says, that's receiving the mark of the beast. So you have to reject truth
right. Before
you can believe a lie.
That's right.
And that's right. If you reject the Holy Ghost, you receive the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
See?
Right.
And so he's showing us here that in this end time is a great showdown, and God has brought to us the manifested word for us to embrace and accept and say, this is truth, but to resist that, you automatically go into this other system that's becoming him, Satan, manifest.
Yep.
So he's the god of this evil age and being worshipped by false religions, by false teachings, by reasoning, right? He's being worshipped that way. And yet God has been, and his mercy has brought to us once again, not a historical Christ, but has brought to us Jesus Christ made alive, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have seen it manifested, we've experienced it, and now we're under the test to see, can we stay with the word, even if we have to stand by the word there without one sensation any other way, we'll stand by the word rather than fall for a false system. So, you see, Eve She was given the word to live by, her and Adam. She was given the word to live by, but by reason she chose to go contrary to the word of God because it looked good, because it sounded good through the channel of reasoning. So we're faced with the same thing today. We have this message that tells us these things, and yet God is going to test us to see whether we're really believing and embracing Christ, the Word that has come before us. And so while under that test, we're going to be presented with many things that if we look at it by reason, we can say there's no way the message can be right. You follow me? And the mistake there is by getting off into reasoning. And so that's the thing that we're going to be tested to, is can we believe it like he said? Amen. Brother Branham tells us, he says to the overcomers, this is out of the Church Age book, and that we see in Church Age, we've got this great overcoming to do. He says, to the overcomers, Revelation 3, 2 and 1, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. Remember, that's the last age. And he tells the last church age, Laodicea. Hey, when we leave this Laodicea age, we're going to a millennium where Christ is sitting on his throne, and he's going to have somebody sitting on his throne with him. And he says to the overcomers of that age, you can sit with me on my throne if you'll overcome this age. So to the overcomer of this age, Brother Ben says, now, what are we to overcome? He says, that is the normal question to ask here, but that is not the actual thought of this verse, for it is not so much what we overcome, but how. How we are to overcome. Now, this is logical, for it doesn't matter how much what we are to overcome, as long as we know how. Amen. To overcome. A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the word, and by the word only. In each of the three major trials that corresponds exactly to the temptations in the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, Jesus overcame by the word. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. And right now, let me say that this is the only way to be an overcomer. Only way to be an overcomer. Also, it is the only way to know that you can... It is the only way that you can know if you are overcoming, because the word can't fail. So if you go anywhere other than in the word, you might think you're overcoming. But he says the only way you can truly know that you're overcoming is if you stay with the word.
Right.
So he tells us and lets us know right there that we can be hit situations where we're tempted and tried. And if we don't stay with the word, we might find ourselves in a situation where we believe and think we're overcoming, but it might be right, because the only way to know that you truly are overcoming is if you stay with the word. Now, if feeding it was declaring it above that, then you could say, oh, if you feel it, then you're overcoming. But he's not saying that. It's not if you feel it. That's not it, see? Because feelings can be all mimicked by Satan. Right? All the gifts, all the tongues, all the things, devil speaking tongues and all that. See, all that can happen, but that's not how you gauge it. You gauge it by, are you staying with the word? And that means that even if you stay with it and you don't feel anything, you stay with what he said. Amen. Oh, but we want to feel good. You think Jesus felt good in the Garden of Eden? Not the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane. You think he felt good? You think he felt good when he was walking up Calvary with his back all bloody? Did he feel it? No, it has to go beyond that. It has to go beyond feeling, whether good, bad, or whatever. It has to go to something much deeper that lodges into the word of God that cannot fail. And that's the only way that you can know that you're overcoming. And so Brother Ram says, it's not what you overcome, but how. Because Because if you know how to overcome, it doesn't matter what Satan sends your way, you'll always overcome it because you know how to overcome. And so he's showing us here that even Jesus could have used all of his power. He could have smote the devil any way he wanted to when he was tempted there in the wilderness. But Jesus did not do that. He gave us an example on how to overcome, and that was just say, it is written. And so I'm telling you, if you find a promise in God's word and you're faced with a devil in front of you, I don't care what it looks like, you find that word that says that you're victorious in Christ Jesus, and you say, it's written. And if he comes back the next day, it is written. And you keep saying that, just like Brother Raymond says, if you want to hear me testify to the glory of God, just stick around. But you'll find out if you do it enough, he won't stick around. Right? So when you have pains in your body, say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. I'm serious. And you might have to do that for months. But just remember, the prophet of the age, and you know the kind of vindication God gave him. God could not send a man out here and vindicate it all like it was and him just tell you a bunch of nonsense. So he told you that, and the scripture tells us, but this was the way he described it, that Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession, and if you'll profess in agreement to the word of God, God will make your body line up with your confession.
Yeah.
Or else he's not a good intercessor. Who wants to raise your hand and say, I don't think Jesus Christ is a good intercessor? I'm not. See? So, it has to come back to the place where we believe it, regardless of sensation.
Right.
So it's how you overcome, not if you overcome. So we see here that Jesus was tested with all three of those things, and he overcame with the word. And so the end time bride has to do the same thing. So, you know, Brother Rand was telling us in one of these sermons I was listening to, I forget which of the two, but he says, you know, it's like a salesman, an evil salesman. He says he'll do everything he can to make you see that the wrong way. He'll do it to make you see it the wrong way because he's got something to benefit. And so he don't want you to see what's really there. He don't want you to pull the dipstick out and see the dirt, the shavings on the oil dipstick. He don't want, you know what I'm saying? He don't want you to know what's really going on with the car, if it's a car or whatever it is. He don't want you to know there's a foundation issue with the house that you're looking to buy. He don't want you to know that stuff. That's why they have to put laws in place to try and protect you, because they'll pull the stunts on you. But he doesn't want you to see the truth about the deal is because he knows you won't take it if you know the truth. So he'll do everything to hide and cover up. Why? Because he wants the deal. He wants to benefit from it. And for him to benefit means you lose. Now this, and Brother Bram said, that's why Satan's doing this. That's why he's deceiving the people, is because he's got something to gain in it, and he's got to make sure the people don't see the truth of it, because they won't buy into it if they see the truth of it.
Yeah.
So he has to deceive them and make them think all kinds of stuff, and by doing that, he is slowly bringing them in to bondage to him, and he benefits from it. See? He gains from it. And so anytime Satan gains from it, somebody's coming into bondage, somebody's coming into slavery, and the end thereof is actually going to be death to that person who's been brought into the deception of Satan. So he's a bad salesman. He's a salesman. He's a good salesman, but he's an evil salesman, put it that way. He's good at selling his lives, but he's evil. And so what you find out here is that, you know, God had an Eden that he created for his family, for his children. And in that condition, in that environment, Adam and Eve could be what they were. They could be sons and daughters of God. Adam could stand right out there and he could speak to the mountains, speak to the trees. It was an environment created by God that he could just freely be a son of God. She could be a daughter of God. And they could just live in that environment. And that environment that Adam and Eve could live in was nothing but freedom and life and liberty and joy and no slavery, no bondage. And when you would live in something like that, You just willingly turn around and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for providing this for me. I mean, we've got nothing but good stuff, and we can just exercise being a son or daughter of God. I can speak to the mountain and make the wind stop blowing because it's too cold or whatever. And just you just naturally worship God. The scripture says we love him because he first loved us. He provided all these things, and when we realize what he's done for us, we just fall down and worship him. But Satan ain't like that. Satan doesn't have those goods. Satan is anti-word. So Satan's Eden is anti-Garden of Eden, anti-God's Eden. His Eden is for his benefit, and his end product of what he wants is he wants to be worshipped. But in order to do that, it has to be contrary to God's Eden. And in this Eden, it brings people into bondage. See? And so if he can get people to believe his lie and pull them away from God's Eden and into Satan's Eden, he gets the gratification. He just such ecstasy when somebody submits. You sisters, not you sisters, but you young ladies or whoever might hear this, just remember, when Satan convinces you to put less clothes on, and he uses reason, say, oh, but, you know, the guys will like you. You'll be famous, or then you'll be popular among them. And when you do this, when you put these less clothes on and you're walking down the street and all them guys are looking, oh, it's going to feel so wonderful. You're going to have such a rush of adrenaline, you know, that all these guys are looking at you. And that rush of adrenaline you're experiencing is actually what Satan is experiencing. You get to feel it too. I don't want to do anything that a devil was getting an adrenaline rush off of, that he's all excited because I'm acting out what he is. See? And so when Satan brings people into his Eden, into his belief system, he gets the gratification, but you go into bondage. And the end of that is death. And that's the way he works it. And so God's Eden is for our benefit, but Satan's Eden is for Satan's benefit. You follow me? Absolutely opposite. And the end product of those who are in Satan's Eden is that he's being worshipped, and he gets the excitement. Oh, I'm worshipped. Like, why? Because look at all these people. They're bound down to me. Oh, they think they're worshipping God, but I got it. And they're all worshipping me in a false system. That's what's happened. And this is the God of this evil age. And this system and all the power of deception and all the power of reasoning to pull you away from the word and all that, he rises up in the strength and he challenges the bride who's believing this message and challenges. And if we turn to reasoning, he's going to whip us. But she's ordained to prove to Satan she's not like Eve. She's not going to fall to reasoning. And that means that when she comes to service, she don't have to feel nothing to go away and know she's blessed. She's going to stay with the Word and know that the Word has made the difference in her life. And so we do believe in, we know that if something's dead, it's going to not say anything. Something dead, you know, if it's alive, it makes some sort of indication that it is alive. So we give our praises to God to show that we love him and that we are alive. And so, Satan's Eden brings death, slavery. You remember the four horse riders? The white horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse. And this is what Satan does. See, he'd come at you with a white horse rider of deception to deceive you into accepting his lies. And many fall for it. But after he's gotten, say, let's say he gets 90% of the world to believe by deception his system. But he's not satisfied because he wants to be the God of this world, the God of this evil age. And so if there's one person who's not bowing down to his system, he can't stand it. You ever think about these people in high places and they've got millions, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars and they got to have another dollar? What motivates a person like that? A person can have $100 billion and they've got to go out and mess with people to try and gain more and make their kingdom greater. Well, who do you think's being featured there? That they can't stand it. But they've just got to do things and got to get involved with government, got to get involved with medicine and everything to bring control upon people that they might benefit. Who do you think's being featured in that? It ain't God. It's the devil. He's being featured in that. And so these four horse riders, that first horse rider goes out, the white horse, he'll go out and deceive the people. And let's say he gets 90% of the people to believe by deception, and they willingly accept his belief system, and now they're in bondage to him, and they think they're okay. They think they're free. They think they're worshiping God, and they think they got eternal life coming, but they have denied the word of God, accepted this deception of Satan. They fell for the white horse rider, and now they're in the system, but there's still 10% who have it. And Satan can't stand it. They can't stand it that I got $100 million or $100 billion. I got to have another billion. I can't stand it that 90% of the world is following after me in false religion, but there's this small group that still isn't. I got to have them. So what does he do? He gets off the white horse because he's got all kinds of tremendous power under the white horse ride. He got enough people behind him to believe his system. Now he's got government and leaders and strength and money and backing. And now he's got enough people underneath that spirit that they believe that even such that they can put you to death and think they do God's service, right? That's what Jesus said. And then all underneath his spirit. And so now he can get off the white horse, get on the red horse, and actually go out and to slay, and everybody under the influence of the white horse rider are okay with it. Because they've all been duped into believing this 10% is wrong and they must die. They must die because they don't accept our way. That's Satan's way. So, now listen, there's only two powers on this earth. There's only two powers. Jesus Christ and Satan. And so when you look outside in the world and you see outside of this living word and you see the way they act, you know what they're doing. You know where they're headed. You know that they're lying to make you buy the deal. And by doing that, they're bringing you into bondage. You know that. You know they're not happy with the power that they have. They got to just have more. And you know who they're coming after. You see what I'm saying? So they can say all they want to, post whatever they want on the news. They want to say this, say that, have this foundation, this organization. I don't care what they claim. I know the spirit that's behind them and what his agenda is. And their agenda is we will not have anybody who's got freedom and can worship God according to truth. Right? So they're coming. They're coming. Because that's all they can do. Because that's what they're anointed of. And if they weren't anointed of that, then they'd have to be anointed of Christ, and then they'd be our brothers and sisters, and they'd be wanting the same freedoms of worship that we have. See? But you understand what I'm saying. This is the nature. And so, get off that white horse rider, get on the red, and if we can't deceive them into it, we'll absolutely force them into it. If we have to go out and trick them, lie to them, kill a bunch of them, make a pandemic. What are we got to do to get them swung off over here where we can control them and bring them right on in underneath this? That's what we'll do. And we'll use all of our power to do it. Right? Think about it. How many times we talked about this, how that if you're out there fighting with someone and it looks like they're going to beat you, well, anything that you could grab to your disposal, you would use it to win. You think he's not that way? You think that because he's got all this under his belt, but there's just still a small group of people, you think he's okay with that? No, because as long as there's a people who's not serving him, he's being defeated. And he's got to resort to things. It's all he can do. He's got to resort to things to go after them. And whatever he can do to get them underneath his system, if he can't deceive them, he'll force them into it. And I don't know about a lot of people, but I bet you I could, everybody, if you search your own heart, I have no desire, and you're probably this way too if you're a believer, I have no desire for someone to be in sorrow and anguish that I could enjoy and have a good time. I do not want someone suffering that I could have a wonderful day. Jesus did do it. And that's the way of salvation, you see. But that's Satan's way. Instead of him being the one who suffered that his subjects could go free, they have to suffer that he can go free, so to speak. You follow me? It's the other way around. And so that's what he's doing. And so after he gets off the white horse and he brings everything underneath, then now he gets on the black horse, and that was where he was charging for the bread of life. And this is what I'm getting at. Satan wants to deceive people or force people underneath his forced unity, and then once there, they are the ones providing him, because he charges him for the very breath of life, the very bread of life, for the thing that they have to exist, he charges them for. If you want to conquer a people, just go to the place where they all have to go and poison it, and you get them all. So if they all have to eat, give them hybrid. If they all have to go to school, infiltrate their schools with ungodliness. You see what I'm saying? If they all got to go this way and sit underneath this government rule, then corrupt it. See? That's the way it works. And once in all that, you have to paddle in their boat. What they say, you got to do it. When they say people are dying by the thousands, even though they're not, you got to go with it. You see what I'm saying? You got to. Why? Because it's their system. But down inside, you're still a people of God, and you're free. And you know what's going to happen when it's over with. You see what I mean? We've got to quit thinking that Satan's just halfway playing. It's for real. It's for real what he's doing, and he's moving toward that squeeze. And we might as well get ready, because in that hour, we're not going to have sensations. We're going to have the Word. And that's what we're going to have. And that's the only thing we're going to have to overcome is the Word. Because they're coming. Because it's their nature. So he gets the black horse. He gets them all in. And then it comes to the pale horse. And the end of this whole thing, of all these riders, the end of it is death. And hell follows. And that's the way it is. So these governments that's doing the things that they are, and all the powers that be, there are people that sit at desks in places around this world, and they make decisions, and they can sit there, three or four of them, and make a decision, and an entire country go down the drain by the decision of two or three men. A president can absolutely go away because of their choice. Now, I realize if you have ever studied this out, if you never looked at this, you don't know. But Satan plays for real, and he's moving that agenda. He is the god of this evil age. And everywhere outside of Christ, he's getting his way. But you know what? They might fool the world, but you can't fool the Holy Ghost. You might make the world afraid, but you're not going to make God's people fearful with lies and deception. Not in this hour. Because we know that there is a people who know who they are. Amen. Look at all the regimes around the world, how they've acted. Let's take their guns, and you know what happens next. I'm not an advocate for all this, their military. I'm an advocate for freedom, right? And when you know history shows it, and you know what happens when they take your and take away your rights, and they fix it to where you can't sit peacefully in your home that you paid for with hard-earned money, you paid your taxes, you're not doing anything to break the law, and yet they can come and take you from that home or do whatever they want. See what I mean? That's the system that they hold, and that's the way it works. And listen, Bible speaking, they had to manufacture a law to go after David. They had to look and say, look what these people are doing. They're not, they pay their taxes, they're hard workers, they're honest, you're not going to catch them doing anything wrong. They're not speeding, they're not abusing nobody. How are we going to get them? We got to get them because something in us is just grating in us. We can't stand the fact that there's somebody over here that's free and worshiping God instead of worshiping Satan. We got to do something. So how do we? Well, Let's make it to where what their normal way of life, let's find what they won't compromise with. Let's make that against the law.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And you know it's coming. Right? Brother Ram told us.
Right.
See? We work to fix this building up knowing that they'll come one day and tell us we can't come here no more. Right? I heard a guy say, churches, when they accept the shackles, then shortly thereafter is the shackles. Right? The government has no business intervening or being involved in church affairs. Right? But they are. Right? They have no business questioning what you believe, but they do. Right? You know? You see what I'm saying? Why? Because it's ramping up in that direction to that squeeze that's coming. And so, what do you think? It's a great deception. What do you think those devils, those fallen angels, thought when they were in heaven and Lucifer began his campaign? What do you think they thought? The ones that actually got that actually fell to his lie. Before they fell, what do you think? He's up there saying, you know what? God thinks he's something else. He's got all this worship. He has us. We all have to come. And, you know, and other angels, they got in and said, you know what? You're right, Lucifer. I mean, if I have to come, we got to go through this certain round. And he just thinks he's the only holy one among us. And he thinks he's the only one that's got truth. And you know what? Man, I think we can do a better job. Because Brother Rem tells us that Lucifer thought he could have a better kingdom than that of Michael. Right? And he was able to get holy at the time. They were holy angels. Holy angels of God to buy into his lie. What do you think they thought of after they were kicked out? Why did we listen to that guy? Why? We should have known something was telling me it wasn't right. Why did I go with it? I got caught up in the spirit of this thing. And now look what's happened. I say all that to tell you that when you're in the hour of temptation, he makes it look so real. But then after it's over with, then look at the pain and sorrow. It can't be, you see what I'm saying? It's all done. I'm sure it was pretty interesting when they fell, the thought process they had.
Yeah.
Only two powers on the earth. And in this world, the scripture says, in this world, you have tribulation. As Christians, we just need to know that. As Christians, we need to know that that system outside of Jesus Christ does not have us and our benefit as their agenda. That system wants you and I gone. That's right. And we just must remember that. So in this world, we have tribulation, but you know what? And even the great tribulation period is not God's tribulation upon his people, because the scripture tells us you are not appointed to wrath. You've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. You're the bride of Christ. He has no qualm with you. But the devil does. And the devil uses the powers of this world. He uses the kingdom of this world, the military powers, the government powers, the medical powers, the religious powers. Everything that's inside his domain and his Eden is focused to take you and I out and go after the 144,000 of Israel that's promised. That's the only last two that's there. He done got the Lutherans. He done got the Methodists. And now he's got the mainstream Pentecostals. There's only one left from Cumbo now. Right? But that's all he can do. And for us, we just need to mark it down and say, you know what? When we rise up every day, we should say, you know what? I am in Satan's Eden, and he's out to get me. He's out to confront me with situations that he's going to try and make me think it's okay to compromise. And he's going to make it look so good. And it's going to be so mesmerizing. And it's actually going to, when I think about it, I'm going to start feeling good about it. I'm going to start feeling sensations, because that's the way it works. And so we just need to realize when we get up every day, we need to say, I am in his Eden. He's out to get me. He's out to deceive me. And I'm going to know that I've got to stay with the Word no matter what he tries to make me feel like. And I'm not going to go places where he bombards me with that. I'm not going to fellowship with people who bombard me with compromise. See what I'm saying? There's a straight and holy walk that God, people need to do.
Right.
And you're not going to go places physically, mentally, electronically, whatever, that war against the gospel that lives inside you. And if you do it to your own hurt. As I said the other day, Brother Lonnie was in that one thing he shared. He said, a lot of the battles that we have would go away if we just sanctify our life.
Yeah.
If we just clean our lives up from the world, a lot of the battles that you have would go away. And it'd be different battles, but you understand what he's saying. And so, don't ever underestimate what the enemy will do. Don't ever think that they won't pull the trigger on something that would cause millions of people to die. Because they'll do it. It's happened many times. And we're not in an age where, because you know what, Satan can't repent. Those angels are in, and they are, you know, chains of darkness is what they said. The scripture said, and so they're not changing their mind. They got one agenda, and that's all they can do. And Brother Bram talked about how it's just the laws of the land that's keeping them from coming forth and doing what they want, but watch what they've been doing since then. Watch the erosion of the laws and of things and things that are happening now. You know, tell churches you can't hardly get together, but liquor stores and you know, think about it. Millions of people going to Walmart and all the stores every day and nobody seems to be dropping dead in by the droves around all that, and yet, think about it. Don't be naive. They're willing to do whatever, and you just have to look at that and say, I know. I may not know. They may have muddied the waters. I may not know what all's going on, but I know who they are, and they're not Christ Jesus. And I know they're lying to me. And I know that they've got bondage and bringing the whole world into control. That's their system. But in Jesus Christ, there's freedom. Amen. We know that. And so they're moving, and they're moving into total domination. We know the scriptures tell us this, Brother Graham tells us this. Total domination of the world. And I think of that word domination, it sounds like denomination. Because that's what denomination is to bring you into domination. Remember it? Dominating female? That was one of the church age's names, Thyatira, I believe it was. Dominating female. A church who's in authority rather than being surrendered to Christ. You know, when you have a math problem, a division, you have the numerator and you have the denominator. And the greater the denominator is, the less you have at the end. So the more we shift to denominational thinking, the less the outcome is, right? I always think of things like that. And it's true. But you know what? We have a promise of a restored Eden. Satan has his Eden, but we have a promise of a restored Eden. And you remember how that worked. Brother Ben tells us this. That God had a threefold purpose, and that was, first, that he could reveal himself in Christ Jesus. And he did that. And then the second fold of the thing was that he, Christ Jesus, could get preeminence in his church. And he's been working 2,000 years bringing that forward and is now getting preeminence in his people. And then once he gets preeminence in his bride, then he as bridegroom and she as bride, he can take them and he can actually restore the Eden condition so that man and woman in Eden, his Eden. But in order to do that, he has to destroy Satan's Eden. And so we have that promise, but here it is. He has to have preeminence in us. He has to have total preeminence in you and I. In order for that to happen. And total preeminence, you and I, is exactly what I'm talking about, overcoming the God of this evil age. Not bowing down to any of his lies and deception, whether it's whatever it is. Let them do what they're going to do, but let's walk with Jesus Christ, the Word. Amen. There is a bride, and there is a church. And that's one thing most of the world gets all mixed up on. They try to always apply to the church the same things that is there for the bride, and there's totally difference. If you do that, it won't work out. There is a bride, and then there's a church world. The bride goes in a rapture. The bride accepts every word of God. She has a full experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in her life. She becomes the quickened word. The church doesn't. The church is somewhat less. The church maybe receives salvation in the tribulation period and so forth. They're not on top of the mountain with him. They're not sitting with him in the throne, but the bride is. And that's the difference, see? And so when I say all the things I'm saying, I'm not saying this to the church world. I'm saying it to the bride. Stay with Jesus Christ, the manifested word of this hour, in the face of this God, of this evil age. And you'll overcome. I believe that. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. May the Lord bless you. One thing you learn, and I've said this before, everybody's going to disappoint you but Jesus Christ. But surely, people are paying attention right now with things going on in the world the way it is. And surely you've come to the realization that you can't trust anybody, and even if you thought you could, they may not have the right information. So Satan muddies the waters for you so you don't know what you're doing. And the only thing that's clear is this right here, the Word of God. That's the clarity. And if we try to look somewhere else and try to say, well, you know, I believe that I'll have my confidence in this person or in this governor or this president or whatever. I'll have my confidence in him. You're going to be disappointed at some point because this is the only thing right here that won't fail you. And we've got to learn that lesson. Don't go somewhere else looking for comfort. Don't go somewhere else looking for entertainment and peace and something to get you by from one day to the next. Don't go somewhere else for Satan's fixes, for his injection of his drugs in your system. This is it. This right here. That's the thing that we want to stay with. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of this service, we are asking God that you just help us in this hour. We know that we confess, Lord, that we are a needy people, but yet we realize, Lord, we possess all the promises of your word to an entire realm. Realize we're in a battle now. We're in the thickness of the battle. And all these things going on, and we know Satan is making his moves, just coming up closer and closer to what he desires. And during all these movements, Lord, may your people learn to have a greater confidence in you and to follow after you and realizing that it doesn't matter what Satan throws our way, as long as we know how to overcome, and that is to stay with you. We're asking, Lord, that you'd help us in this manner, that you bless every heart, young and old. God, that they would just go forth today with that rededication of their life to believe you and the simplicity of your word, that you will not lie, that everything is in there is for our good, and realizing that there's bondage and everything outside of you. Let's ask you, God, you'd help us now this way. We love you, Lord, and at this time, these people in your hands. Ask you. Thank you. opening of the seals. You know, look like silence. The scripture said silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. All this worship and everything going on, but he left there and come here for a period of time. And so when you look at that there, and it looks like Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, when he gets to what was the seventh seal, he goes silent there. And you look at it, he goes on as he's talking there. He's talking about the things that take place under the seventh seal, but it looked like he quit and went some other direction. And one of the things he's talking there is about the foolish and wise virgin, but he also talks about the time that God separates, as it would be a man that would separate his sheep from his goats. And I've said, to preface what I'm fixing to say about this, is we have to be tested and tried. We have to be put out here on the ground that's just like the Gethsemane had. We have to be right out there where we're going to feel like we've been forsaken. No sensation to make us feel good, but just obedient to the word, because she has to go to that place. And so there's a squeeze coming down. They're going to come down hard. It's going to be rough. And during that time, it might feel like that, but we're going to stay with the word and know that we have stayed true to this message, that he's God of people, and I believe it. I believe this truth that he's given. And it might be our Gethsemane. And it may feel like, but just remember, he said, right as they begin to start and do their cowardly deed, he'll take his bride. He'll take her. And he said, she won't be shut up, she'll be taken up. Now, they might shut the doors, but she will not be shut up, she'll be taken up. And it may look and say, you know what? He's going to let this world just abuse her such a way. But I'm going to tell you something. She has such high position with Jesus Christ. Her position as his bride is higher than what we might think. He's more mindful of a people who is true to his word than what you might think. And even in those hours when they're coming down heavy on us, upon his people, you just remember, he knows high regard. She's in high regard, but he has to let her go through this trial because it's word of his word, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. But you know, when you look in that, and he says, as he would separate his sheep from his goats. Didn't say it would be sheep and goat, but as a man would. And you know that we Christians, we do not get in because of our works. But he speaks of a situation there where there are people at the end of the millennium, when they come up in a resurrection, that they're given life because of what they did for the bride, for the brethren. He said the brethren, which is members of the bride. Could you imagine that? That he lets them have life. He gives them life. They didn't have it. They didn't predestinate it like the bride had it like that, but he gave them life because they did something good for the one who was his bride. I'd say he has pretty high regard for her. And you need to remember that. That as you walk worthy of him, though the world rejects and hates you, there's somebody out there that can receive life because they'll do something for you. That'll be worth it, amen. And you'll be able to speak on their behalf on that day. I think of many people, I could name a bunch of people that have done things for me in critical hours of my life. And when they did it, something down inside. There's been a lot of people that do things for, but there's been some people that when you was going through something really hard, something down inside lodged, and you know that you're going to be able to say something for them on that day. How many knows what I'm talking about? And so, it's a worthy walk. They might reject it, but just keep walking with it. It's the greatest walk you can ever walk. May the Lord bless you as we sing this again, whatever song we have.